Coming up on TMS, we need professional help.
Rogue Legacy has its claws deep into Scott's soul.
Jogger Pooper on the loose.
Roaming gang of devil cats attack women when they least expect it.
The royal baby has a name and it's boring.
Texas Ranger house for sale.
Therapy Thursday.
Your emails and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Imagine, with this light, crisp cereal, you can get all the nourishment of oatmeal. For this is Post Heart of Oats, a new ready-to-eat cereal with all the nourishment of oatmeal.
But without cooking. That family of mine needs nourishment. Lots of it. The kind that oats can give them.
And they can get it with Post Heart of Oats and milk. So give your family the strength of oats with new Post Heart of Oats.
And you know something? They taste just a little bit better.
And you can always hear the milk.
The Morning Stream.
Many Bothans died to bring you this information. This is The Morning Stream.
Guten Tag and good morning, everybody. Welcome back to The Morning Stream. It's TMS and it's Thursday, July 25th, 2013. I'm Scott. That's Brian. Hello, Brian.
Yo.
What's up?
How come that guy pronounced it Post's Heart of Oats?
I don't know. Wait. He's not. He doesn't sound like here he is normal. Here.
Imagine.
See, normal. Imagine. Yeah, imagine. I think people were just like, make sure you enunciate your oats.
Post's Heart of Oats.
Oats. Yeah, different time, different place, I suppose.
I guess so.
Those were the good old days of cereal days.
the salad days of cereal.
Gross. That sounds so bad. Sounds really bad. Imagine a bowl full of like Honey Nut Cheerios
honey
drenched in ranch.
Celery,
yeah. Gross. That sounds really gross. You know what I don't mind once in a while though? I don't mind a Ziploc bag of like Cheerios just at the side, at the table or something. Just kind of reach in there occasionally and snack on them.
Like
all right.
You're like a toddler. You like a little bag of Cheerios, Ziploc bag.
Like a little kid like in church trying to keep him quiet. Like, here's a bag of Cheerios, you little brat. Now shut up and sit down.
No, I don't mind. You know, I like cereal. I do like breakfast cereal. It's too bad I can't handle the milk.
Yeah, no, yeah, the intolerance there. A little bit.
That's right. The soy stuff works just fine for that, though.
You know what? That's the almond milk's not bad. You have that?
I haven't had the almond milk. I've just been doing the soy because when you go to Costco to buy soy milk, you basically have to back up a forklift to get the soy milk. I mean, it's not, you don't say, oh, I'd like to sample. I'd like to try one carton of that. No. You're either out or you're all in, baby.
It's like a trip to the Home Depot every time you go.
That's right.
And get yourself some soy milk. Yeah, the problem with the almond milk is getting down under there and squeezing those tiny little udders they have. It's really hard to get it out of there.
I got nipples. Get your milk, me, Greg.
You got $50. Always reminds me of that when you do that. Well,
yeah, my Ernest Borgnine and my Robert De Niro stem from the same place.
Yeah, pretty much the same source. That's all right. Shared inspiration is good for you. So here's the deal. We had that 24th of July Pioneer Day thing. A quick correction. I had a Corinne's clarification yesterday.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh. She called me and said, did a little research on her end. It is not the day that we had statehood. Different day.
Okay.
What we're celebrating is the day that the pioneers rolled into the valley, big empty valley full of nothing but animals, trees, and probably Native Americans, and said, and so Brigham Young comes in here, eventual governor of the state as well, comes in here and goes, mm-hmm. This is the place. But what he really says is this is
his staff on the ground.
Yeah, he went, and said, this is the, actually, the exact quote is, this is the right place. A lot of people get that wrong. And that's the day we're celebrating. It's like the day the state was discovered by the pioneers who bravely weathered the frozen Mississippi and like ate each other's hands or whatever they had to do to survive. And so anyway, that's what that was. Thanks for clarification. But we had a lot of fun. We had like 30 people that were barbecued. Kim made flank steak. Oh, my gosh. It was so good. Big barbecue. Barbecued pineapple slabs and just like tons of great food, bunch of kids and just fireworks, and the whole valley smells like remember snakes, the little black disc you'd set on fire for prayer.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. The little, like, right. You set it on fire and it goes,
yeah.
And it, just, and it poops out into a little snake.
Yeah, it would just become a big shite and it would ruin every sidewalk it was ever put on.
Right, exactly. Yeah. look like Hiroshima with the snake permanently frozen in time.
Mm-hmm. Like literally scorched earth. And if you go back to your childhood home, it's likely you'll find on the sidewalk where you lit those as a kid. So they're That's real right. bad. But those didn't happen. But the collective use of fireworks in the valley, just this morning I woke up and everything smelled like a giant burnt snake, like a burnt 4th of July snake. And I don't know why. Well, I wasn't here for the 4th, so no wonder I didn't experience it twice. I was up at the hotel with you guys. So
the resort, yeah.
So that's the way it went down.
I didn't
anyway.
See any fireworks this year at all.
Oh,
not one.
Really? Not like at all? Like nothing?
Not like
how
at
about,
all.
How no, about hearing it? Like no neighbors shooting them off at weird hours and things like that?
Surprisingly, no. And usually we do, right? Usually we do get the random neighbor with a pop bottle rocket. I think they've learned with the fire situation we've got going on here in Colorado, at least what we had at the end of June, beginning of July,
right?
That they're just not setting off the old boom boom stuff, right? Mm. They're keeping it.
Everybody's cautious.
That's
how last year was. Last year was that way because we had all those fires and everybody was a much more subdued approach to the fireworks. But this year, my neighbors on all sides, I could point to who they were. I didn't even know their names. You got Dave over there. Got Sam on that side. You got the Hecklinger guy over there. You got all these guys with, I know, were not bought at one of those stupid stands. This stuff was like hardcore. Like you'd hear boom, 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 boom. Like those sounds.
And really, then, like kapow, they're launching it out, bang, of a, boom. Out of a big tube.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, like the real deal. And they were just lighting up the sky. I'm like, you guys with your freaking who's been to Wyoming today? That something's going on here. Nice. And usually there's like a cop roaming around like checking that stuff, and there was nothing last night. Mm-hmm. It was like free for all. Hmm. So I don't know what was going on. But anyway, it got me to thinking. Actually, it's a terrible transition because I have no transition for this. Yesterday we made a phone call to that escort service in DC and it didn't really work out.
Right. Yeah.
I thought we'd try another sort of venerable phone us and we'll help you kind of service.
All right. Good. I like this.
It's
not a 976 number.
No,
right?
No, we're not.
$2.99 a minute for the first minute. And
No.
Miss Cleo? We're not calling Miss Cleo.
No, we're not. She'll do more than lick a chip. But we are going to call a psychic, and I found this kind of randomly.
Okay.
I thought we could use a little psychic help, but I'm wondering how far we can get before they tell us to pay. So we're going to give this a shot. This is a random psychic. We don't know where this is or who these people are. I found them on the internet. I have no idea. I cannot speak to the quality of their service, but we're going to give it a shot. So here goes.
All right. Are you doing the talking or am I doing the talking? You're doing the talking.
Let's play it by ear. Let's see how this goes.
All right. That sounds good.
Hello, and welcome to Psychic Interactive.
Oh,
the cost is only 75 cents to $1.18 per minute.
What?
You must be at least 18 and have a touch-tone phone. If you know the extension of the psychic you want, please enter it now. To listen to available psychics, press 2. To purchase receipts, press 9. Receipts are good for 15 minutes of talk and cost $19 each.
All right. 2.
When you hear the psychic you want to talk to, press 1.
All right.
To listen to the next psychic, press 2.
Okay.
To repeat the message, press 3.
Okay. No thanks. We're good. All right.
Greetings, dear ones. This is Charity at 831. Press 1 and talk to me right now. A 40-minute complete tarot reading will do justice to provide you with expansion and direction. I am your ear to listen, to talk to facilitate a better way.
Wait.
Visualize guided meditation, providing energetic healing. You are here to heal, and I am here to help you. Namaste. To be connected to the psychic, press 1. To listen to the next psychic, press 2.
All right, we're going
to... Please enter your phone number, starting with the area code.
What? I have to what?
Oh, no.
Oh, that's not going to work.
That.
Well, let me just do a fake one here. Wait, how many? I don't know how many digits I've done.
Enter your secret code.
Okay, secret code. All right.
Secret code.
789 is my secret code.
Okay.
Oh, I guess I need more.
Four digits.
Valid phone number or secret code.
Oh.
Please enter your phone number, starting with the area code.
Damn it! This is the best they're going to give me, is I got to do all... I got to pay first? I was hoping for like a little... How do I test your...
Enter your secret code.
Shut up. So how do I test this?
Do you have Brian Dunaway's phone number? Cleo suggested we use that.
Oh, that's a great idea, dude. Hold on.
No.
Hold on. Just for funsies. We're going to see. Right, we're going to see if he's around. I don't know if I can actually add his number quick enough to make this worth it. Let's see. Dunaway. All right, let's give this one a shot. I think this is his number. Okay, here we go, everyone. We're dialing Brian Dunaway, friend of the program. Long.
All right.
We're sorry. You have reached a number that has been disconnected or is no longer
Brian,
in service.
What happened?
Until you have reached this
quickly disconnected.
Yeah, we're out of there. Okay, well, I tried. I just,
that's
you know,
I wanted to hear more. I wanted to hear more of their psychics, like the little advertisements.
Yeah, what I should have done is just kept going with the different choices and not picked a lady from the Bronx who's reading off a script as fast as she can.
Charity.
Was that her name?
Charity, which is ironic, right? Mm. It'll be 75 cents to $1.18 to talk to Charity.
Mm. Have you ever talked to someone who claimed, like, either like palm reading or, you know, I'm sure you've done that, like at a fair or something, just for funsies.
Yeah,
had someone do
the Renaissance
that.
Fair. I did the Renaissance Fair, had a palm reader. We had neighbors that lost a cat and hired a cat psychic to find the cat.
My, wait, is this the same neighbors as always, the ones that crack me up? Yeah. It's them, isn't it? That's awesome.
It's them, yes.
I love these neighbors. They don't listen to the show.
I'm so glad they don't listen to the show.
Okay, good.
So they had a pet psychic come in, and you know what? Hey, it helped them. It worked for them. So power to them is what I say about that. But the psychic said that she was sending telepathic messages to the cat and getting messages back. The cat was saying that she was near construction, that there was some construction and a brown house.
Uh-huh. How'd that go?
And
did you end up finding it?
We went driving around. We, you know, looked for any construction.
So wait. So she's talking to the cat, and the cat is responding back. It looks like a brown house, and there's some kind of construction going on over here.
Right. Exactly. But the cat couldn't be bothered to just look at a number. Find the number on the wall.
Yeah, if the cat's that smart, couldn't it look at the sign? I'm at the corner of Main and 4th.
Exactly. Yes.
There's a hooker here, way overpriced. Like here's what I would say about that. I am not. So this is
behind the dumpster at the McDonald's. I'm eating. Come on, leave me alone.
Like you, I will not cast any dispersions in the direction of your awesome neighbors. Who I love the stories of your neighbors. They sound like fantastic people, and every time you bring them up, it brings a smile to my face. So are, awesome for them. Did they find the cat, though, eventually? Before
no.
Okay.
It was an entire summer of, unfortunately, with no success, no closure, and with the number of coyotes we have around this area, I don't think there was a good ending to that story.
So I'm going to make a statement now that will that I desire feedback for, okay?
Okay.
So I want people to email me and give me differing opinions, because I have no problem receiving those, but I will tell you right now, based on the information I have and the knowledge that I have about life and the way it works, cat psychics and psychics in general are a bunch of malarkey, and there's no way any of that shite works. So there, now I've said it. What I'd like people to do now is give us some feedback. What? Tell me how I'm wrong. I want to. Do we have a psychic listener to the show? Did they predict I was going to say this, number one?
Right.
Number two.
They chose not to listen today.
Yeah, exactly. If you guys could, you guys want to email in for real, themorningstream@gmail.com and tell me how I'm wrong.
So
I would love to hear about it.
Where, at what point does, like, is there anything of that supernatural sort that you do believe in? Like, you know, a true, you know, skeptics are in that open-minded area where it's like, you know what? I don't believe it because I haven't seen any proof, but if you were to provide me proof, I'd absolutely 100% believe it. But what, is there anything on the supernatural realm, like ghosts? Do you believe?
No,
yeah.
I don't. I'll tell you what I do believe. So I think the ghost thing is bullcrap. I think the psychic thing, or anyone could predict, you know, like, ESP or any of those things. People are like, I see in your future this or that. Okay, well, how about in the future? You see in the future that the car bomb that blew up 50 people tomorrow. Can you stop that from happening? Like, I just don't buy it.
Right.
So that's one thing. Ghosts, totally hokum. Here's the one thing, I guess, and I wouldn't really call it supernatural, but the one thing I think is likely true. I have no proof of it, but I think it's likely true that there are life on other planets, intelligent life, that is, It seems to me in infinite space there are infinite possibilities, right. and infinitely so.
There are people
either like us or similar to us. And I'm not just talking Star Trek, where the only difference is some of them have ridged noses and some don't. I just mean there are other forms of intelligent life, or at the very least, quote unquote, just life, straight up life on other planets. That I'm sure of. Now, are they coming down here and probing me with a metal tube? No, probably not.
Exactly. But, yeah. No, that totally makes sense. I mean, in an infinite universe, we can't be the only winners of the cosmic lottery, you know, to get the perfect storm of atmosphere, water, distance from a warm body, you know.
Yeah, and to me, anything different, thinking anything different than that is naive and egotistical. Mm-hmm. Like we think we're all that in the center of the universe, but I don't hold with it, bub, when it comes to gypsies, predicting psychics, the future, psychics, any of that hoo-ha. It's just a bunch of, you know, people sitting around a table doing seances, talking to the dead. Bunkorama. Right. I mean, I think it's fun. It's entertaining. Getting my palm read in New Orleans was one of the weirdest things I ever did. But it was all hokum. And it was all like, I see in your future great happiness. Yeah. If you're able to
And 9 times out of 10, you know, it's not, it's there as kind of like a bit of peace for the recipient, as opposed to, you know, maybe they don't fully believe it themselves, but it's that, you know what, I can hold on to that little bit of peace that my husband is saying he forgives me from the grave for, putting contact lens cleaner in his scotch
in his breakfast every morning. Yeah, no, yes, I don't. Exactly. I see, and I do not begrudge people who gain sympathy from that or comfort from that. I'm a little bugged at the people who give it to them, because I think they're doing it and knowingly doing it falsely. But
sure,
again, this is not me. Like your cat psychic neighbors, I don't look at them and go, "You guys." Like, I'm not judging anybody else. I'm just telling you straight up. I think if somebody came to me and said, "I'm talking to the cat now. He says that
says meow.
He says if had you just had more fancy feast, he would have stayed around." Like this kind of stuff, just I roll my eyes. But I'm not. Whatever. That's one thing I'm a big proponent of, which is freedom of. Freedom of thinking what you want to think, especially when it harms no one else.
Exactly.
And if you're not harming somebody, then believe what you want to believe, do what you want to do, and you're good in my book. And so
they can perfectly, you know, turn around and laugh at me for doing these silly shows every day and Coverville and Film Sack and whatever. And
sure, they may think this is a complete waste of time. And that's totally fine.
And that's totally fine.
Yep. So there you go. Go talk to your cat. All right. I want to give a shout out to our friend Todd Whitehead over there at alphageekradio.com because they have decided to, or there's an uptick in needs, technologically speaking. He has a post they just put on the site called Passing the Hat. During the coverage of Nerdtacular and Wootstock, it became apparent that the venerable Dell XPS laptop they've been using for a broadcast rig for the last 6 years is reaching the end of its useful life. In order to keep doing shows and these convention coverages, they have to upgrade some stuff. Enter our mutual friends, Doghouse Systems. During Nerdtacular, they had the opportunity to kind of hang out and talk. They didn't, sadly, Todd didn't win the notebook they gave away, but they're going to give him a significant discount on a high-end mobile laptop, roving broadcasting rig. This is where people can come in and help to get the laptop and all this stuff and move to multi-camera live streaming. And so, all this kind of stuff, it's going to get expensive. They're looking for some pledges to cover costs. If you want to support them, it's real simple. Go to alphageekradio.com, go to the homepage. You'll find this link. And all of this is right here and willing to take some help from you. So go do it. You can actually go, let's see, it's on Indiegogo.com is where they listed it. So I suppose you can search for it there, but the fastest way is alphageekradio.com and just click that that blog post and help them out. Give them some love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
Alphageekradio.com, equipment upgrade campaign in effect now. All right. Let's stump us a Trek nerd.
All right. Sounds good.
What a great week it has been with Daryl, man. I'm telling you.
Poor guy. He's just been...
It's the best.
apparently he, you know, he knows more about the show that his show talks about right. than the show the which show they talk about it.
Indeed. It's Stump That Trek Nerd, brought to you by.
Did you like The Last of Us? My friend and myself finished playing it, and we decided to talk over our feelings for the game, both good and not so good. Give us a listen on my YouTube channel at youtube.com/edesis. That's E-D-E-E-S-I-S. youtube.com/edesis.
Fantastic. Daryl, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. The cat told me you were going to call.
Oh,
sweet.
Good.
You've got the touch. Daryl, if I told you, so let's just say I told you right now, Daryl, I've had a conversation with your water heater. I have a connection to people's water heaters, and yours has told me that it's about to spring a leak, put out the pilot light, and just flood your basement. How concerned would you be after I've told you that?
I would say we don't have a basement, so you're an idiot, you dumb water heater.
Your water heater's a liar.
Yeah. So this is what I'm getting at, because you can play this game. They play the same game with people. So you see these guys on, like, the Great Kreskin or whoever on TV will go, right. I'm seeing a man. That man has a mustache. My dad had a mustache! Like this, right?
The letter J. Does the letter J mean anything to anybody in here? Did somebody recently lose somebody? Do they know somebody with the letter J?
And even if they don't, like, everyone's going, not the letter J. That must mean it's every other letter in the alphabet then. Man, this is really coming to me as some freaking bullshit. Right. Anyway, Daryl, it's Trek a Stump Nerd. You've had some trouble this week. These questions have all surrounded your fantastic podcast with Michael Gaines, known as This Week in Trek, and it's your 100th episode celebration, and each day we've thrown you for a bit of a loop, and I'm really looking forward to doing it again. Here is your last chance to pull one out this week. Here you go. Daryl has a habit of making long-winded explanations. This is not me writing this, by the way. For his 1 to 10 ratings of episodes at the end of the episode insight segment on This Week in Trek. The most memorable of these ratings was also one of his rare zeros, as he compared an episode to knitting a ball of yarn with air so that it all falls apart. What? That's a great I love that. Knitting a ball of yarn with air. What episode did Daryl dislike so much he compared it to knitting yarn with air? Was it A, Schisms from TNG, B, Spock's Brain from TOS, C, The Visitor from DS9, or D, Tinker Tenor Doctor Spy from Voyager?
I think I actually remember this one.
Oh, wow, really? Ah. Okay, well, don't get too excited, because before you do that, we're going to do one of these.
Are you hungry?
Aren't you hungry?
Watch a foodie.
We have in our hands the Harbio Mach Kinderroch. Und Instastin im Bessen Vampire, ja? Fratgum mit Lakritz. It's
fruit gummy.
Kids and grown-ups love it so, it says. Again, this is the Happy World of Harbio candies. It's that same stupid kid.
Horrible.
This time,
Haribo.
He's flying with a friendly bat.
Which sounds like a Japanese person pronouncing horrible, doesn't it?
Yeah,
it does.
Oh, the horrible movie. That movie was a horrible. So let's open. Send your hate mail to Brian. All right, open it up.
Yes,
because
right.
He brought it up. He brought it up. I'm tearing it open. These are gummy. I love some gummy anything. So let's see how the Germans do it. These are in the shape of bats. You have these, Daryl, right?
Yes, and mine is all, I don't know what it is, it's all melted together in one big mass of goo.
Oh, that's not good. That's not what you want.
Oh, gross.
What's
you know in the movies where there's a big dinosaur and it's got this goopy slobber going out of its mouth?
Yeah.
Everybody goes, ooh,
yeah.
It's like that.
Like Jabba the Hutt licking his lips? Hold on.
Yeah, it's that. It's just a mass of that goo.
Jedi. Okay, I'm gonna take this pink one, a red one, I guess. These are actually kind of creepy looking. Like
they are, like multicolored, these different
like there's guts.
Different types of gummy.
Like there's guts in them. Ugh, I don't like that. All right, let's give it a shot. Here we go. Wing first.
I mean, the whole damn thing.
Oh, you just stick the whole thing in your mouth? I got to be careful because, you know, this new cap and everything.
Oh, yeah.
I can't eat this.
Not bad at all.
It's just a slab.
You know what? It tastes like black licorice again. Am I wrong about that?
The one I had
ugh.
Is like black licorice, and then the sides are like a fruit, like a
yeah, it looks like
lime.
Looks like what they've done is the body, the main body of the bat, or in Daryl's case, the gelatinous blob, is once again black licorice flavored, and the wings are just like some kind of fruit. And therefore, I hate these. I don't like these at all. These are horrendous. They're really bad. The body of the bat is bad. Don't eat those. Wow. You know what? Vampire candy from Haribo. Horrible. Haribo. These candies are Haribo, Brian.
They're right. Haribo.
They're Haribo. All right.
And I don't think it's racist to say that a word sounds different when pronounced with a different accent.
It's not.
I was not making a generalization.
It's not racist. It's like if I say, I don't know, all y'all's dog bit me in the ass. What am I doing? Am I being racist exactly. about Southern people? Corinne, this is making Corinne cringe right now.
I think I'm overly sensitive to the word racist being casually thrown out.
Yeah, it happens a lot lately. You know that? It happens a whole lot.
Oh, there's a picture of Daryl's slab of goo from his... Oh, that does not look good at all, Daryl.
Where'd you put that, Daryl? Where'd you post that?
You put it on Twitter.
Oh, hold on. Yeah. Let's take a look here.
That's what your vampires look like? It's like it's all gelled into one slab.
Yeah. Oh, what in the heck happened? Oh, my gosh.
I don't know.
No, that's wrong.
Don't eat that.
That's not even like, hey, this got shipped
killed,
in the sun.
That killed Tasha Yar.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh my gosh, I'm blown away by that. I thought, oh, it just melted a little in the shipping. That's not the same as that. That's like they screwed. No. This is like the time I got the Lucky Charms box, and it was all marshmallows. That's what this reminds me of.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Only one big slab of melted marshmallows.
And by the way, that was my best worst day of my life. It was like the greatest worst thing to ever happen to me because I thought, oh, all marshmallows, the best part. And then you have a big bowl of it and you're like, I'm going to die today. I'm going to pass away from all these things I've just eaten. But anyway. All right, Daryl. Congratulations on your slab of goo. anyone celebrating a birthday in Star Trek land?
Yeah, let's see. Oh, yes. That would be Michael Welch. He's 26 today. What did I write here? He was Artem in he was a Baku kid who was Data's friend in Insurrection.
Oh, yeah. He was, pretty young at the time, I think.
And he also played a young Niall Crane on Frasier.
Oh, it's a Twilight guy.
Yes.
Great. Good on him.
He was young Niall Crane on Frasier, too.
Oh, really?
Oh, really? I don't even remember a young...
That's
like
the one where him and Whoopi Goldberg had to get into the air ducts to try to save everybody.
Right, yeah.
episode of Frasier. Is Frasier still all on Netflix? I think it is. I love that show.
That's such a great
show. I got sidetracked by The West Wing, and I want to get back to it now that I'm done with that.
Yeah, I don't see... I'm looking to see if there's like a young Niles Crane photo. Let's see here. I'd like to see how he portrays a young Niles Crane.
Yeah, I'm curious about that. Oh, young Niles Crane. I keep thinking you're Frasier. Frasier Crane.
It was fifth season, if that helps any, I think.
By the way, the only mullet I think still works, if you're going to say mullets still work at all, I think it's the Frasier Crane mullet of the highlight of the Frasier series.
Well, you mean, well, yeah, but I mean, the I don't know if that works because you're bald on top, right? So yeah.
That's why I think it works. I think there's something about that like big bushy back end thing with like balding, receding hair on top. I think there's something cool about that. I like that. Brian, go for it. You got the chops.
I actually figured, nice job, ironic name. I actually figured because I've kind of let my hair grow a little bit, not intentionally, just because I've been lazy about shaving my head.
Right.
But I've totally got the Reed Richards white temple graying. Like if I did let this grow out, I would totally have the Reed Richards white temples.
Mm. Oh, right.
You know, his hair.
I'm getting those a little bit. You guys can see them?
J. Jonah Jameson, I think, has them too. It's a total Marvel thing.
Yeah.
You don't see it. I guess you do see it on The Sopranos. I think what Paulie Walnuts had the white the white temples.
The luckiest 30-year-old in the world is Justin Robert Young, who's already got a ton of gray hair coming in. It's fantastic.
Right, yeah.
I love it.
How's that even happening?
I don't know what's going on there. I think it's because his schedule is crazy. He should, by the way, sometime ask him his story about throwing up five times in first class on an airplane. Have him tell you about that
story.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay.
Just hack.
Well, we'll be having dinner a week from tomorrow.
Oh, perfect.
So I'll ask him about that.
But demonstrate.
I know where to take him. I don't want to take him to Casa Bonita.
You know what, though? He would love the irony of that, though. He would love that.
I don't know if I could do it that soon after.
Take him to the It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Isn't that a restaurant? I think it is.
That's right.
All right, Daryl. Happy birthday to that guy. All right, so back to your question. And you think you actually know this one. The only episode you dislike so much that you compared it to this knitting yarn with air. Was it Schisms, Spock's Brain, The Visitor, or Tinker, Tenor, Doctor, Spy?
And lots of people like this, too. And it's a lot of people's favorite. But not mine, because it's just based on nothingness. Mm. Like a ball of yarn, like you said. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that would be D. No, C.
C. Oh, C? The Visitor from from DS9. Yeah. Not the... The Visitor. I don't remember what that is. Can you give me a brief synopsis? What the hell was that episode?
Oh, let's see. It's where Sisko... Something happens with the transporter or something, and he keeps reappearing, and he ends up in the future. And
It's not the one where his son gets old and is played by the Candyman guy, is it?
Isn't it that? Yeah, yeah.
Oh, is that the one?
I think.
Where Jake is an author and tries to get his dad back out of the loop of the teleporter.
Yeah,
thing?
Yeah, that's it.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. So, all right. I actually really like that episode. I'm shocked you don't like that. Oh, yeah, we've had this conversation on Twitter, I think. I think I brought up how much I liked it, and Mike agreed and then said, but Daryl's crazy and hates it or something.
It just doesn't make any sense. It's based on an impossible technology that's just there for the story and never be seen again.
That's what it was. It was, the Candyman sacrificed himself to save the man called Hawk at the end of that. That's how that went. All right. So let's see if you're right. Is it Judges? Is it C, The Visitor?
Congratulations!
Yeah, you saved
you're
it.
You're a winner!
The whole week saved in one fell swoop. Again, thanks to Dave Buckeye Fizzy for writing this week's questions. Congratulations to Mike and Daryl for 100 episodes. Looking forward to 100 more. There is a clip cut down from the original length, I guess, here. Let's see how long this actually is. But this is Daryl talking, I think. Let's see here.
Stories are kind of like knitting. You have two balls of yarn, and you knit them together into whatever you're making, like a sweater or whatever, with your knitting needles. You have one ball of yarn, the cause strand, and the other one, that's the effect strand.
Jeez.
And I think the effect strand of this episode was pretty good. But the cause effect, or the cause strand of this episode was technobabble and was just horrible writing. You weave one ball of yarn that's just air with the other one, and you get nothing. And nothing is zero. So I give this a zero.
That's awesome.
Awesome.
what a thoughtful moment from This Week in Trek. You guys should go check that show out.
I don't rate that analysis very high.
give that analysis a zero. That was all right.
The very definition of spinning a yarn.
I liked it.
Yes.
So this show, which is now 100 episodes old, you can catch it at This Week in Trek at thisweekintrek.com. You can also find it on iTunes and wherever podcasts are. Lent out for free.
Gotta leased, give it back at the end.
Wherever they're leased, I suppose. And also you can follow him on Twitter, The Trek Nerd. Daryl usually end the show with a quote, and that usually is hard for us to match to a name, so let's try it again. What do you got?
Okay. I think this new ship was put together by monkeys.
Geordi. Scotty.
No, I'm going to say it's Scotty.
Oh, you say, okay, I'll say Geordi. You say
I'm Scotty.
Scotty. All right. Fair enough. I can't change my
Brian mind. Wynn.
Damn it. I knew it as soon as I heard it, and then I did it wrong, and
it's
now
from
I know
one of the
it.
Movies, isn't it?
Is it a movie?
Star Trek V.
Oh, that's the worst thing ever made. Fantastic. Pinch a horse. It's the news.
It's brought to you by our podcast is about the outdoor sport disc golf. We talk about disc golf news, gear, techniques, and other disc golf related topics. If you like disc golf and having a good time, check out our show at discgolfshow.com. We're also on Stitcher, iTunes, and Facebook.
And anybody having trouble on Stitcher yesterday getting our show and potentially any other shows, I guess it's been resolved. Whatever something happened.
Oh,
there,
really? On their end. Okay. Yeah.
It's a thing we don't control. We don't do the Stitcher thing. They do it. So I don't know how it goes, but there's your update on that. Jogger pooper on the run. A resident of Knob Hill, Albuquerque, New Mexico. Meth capital of the world, if I'm to believe Breaking Bad at all.
Mm-hmm.
Is in the midst of a horrifying situation. Every couple of days, a female jogger stops by his house and drops a deuce on his front yard.
Nice.
Every day. Or every couple days. Like crucial defecating at his crib for no reason. I don't know what that means. It is all random, but it's real.
Right there.
Yeah, it is for sure. He has caught the woman on tape several times. Maybe I ought to turn her in by now. Don't keep taping her. That sounds weird.
All of a sudden, you go from being a victim to a stalker.
Yeah, to some kind of weird poo pervert.
Maybe she's from Cleveland.
She took a train. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah. Steamer. Yeah. Steam train, maybe, by chance.
Yeah,
yes.
Maybe a steam train. The description of the woman's behavior is bizarre, off the charts weird. The citizen describes it as thus: drops her pants, lets go, puts her shorts back up without any wipe, nothing else, the homeowner said. It's a little bit more detail than I expected.
Mm-hmm.
Quote, this is a malicious fecal distribution. She comes back multiple times. In a twist of humor, the homeowner told reporters, if it happens again, I'm going to run out there with a hose her down, and say, bad human! As stated before, nice. The man has not done anything. He has simply observed, documented, and planned his revenge. It stands to reason the woman has no idea that she has been popped. The pooper has been popped.
That's awesome. Do we have is there a picture in this link or anything?
There's a picture, but it's not. There's no way it's her.
Yeah,
I think it's like filler data.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I don't think anybody'd be complaining if...
no, you'd be fine. Although, I want you to notice something about that photo. Tiny, tiny head. Just look at proportions. Her head is tiny.
What?
Look at it.
No.
Oh, yeah. If your head is smaller than one of your butt cheeks, like your gluteals there, you've got... there's something wrong with your head. Tiny head.
I don't think so. I think that she looks fine.
Chat room here.
Like being on the show with Jerry Seinfeld sometimes.
I want to help.
She's got small head syndrome.
What's going on with a tiny head?
I can't date her. One of her butt cheeks is no larger than her head. What is the deal?
What's the deal with the tiny head? All right. Look at that in the chat room. I know she's a lovely lady. Don't get me wrong. It's just smaller than the rest of her. Anyway.
I want photo proof. Like, I want this person to post a picture of this woman, you know, blur out her head, but I want to see like just how she's just running up, taking a dump. Is it like right by the doorstep? Is it
right
by the curb?
And
you know,
why your house? Why focus on your house? That's what I want to know. Hey, there's more to this story than we know.
Oh, the Daily Mail. Why does the Daily Mail have video? The UK Daily Mail. Well, sure enough, right here.
Oh my
gosh. There's a link.
They have video
Art Engineer just posted a link, yes.
Oh no. Do I really want to see this? Okay, hold on.
Oh, this isn't the same. This isn't the same
one.
Oh,
it's somebody else. Female jogger.
No, it is.
This is it.
Yeah.
This is it.
All
right, we're going to take a quick shot. We're going to take a little video here. See, I hope this doesn't have music. All right, here we go. It's playing.
The play-by-play action here.
Well, it's not really playing. I'm going to have to play twice.
It's Easter Sunday. A young woman on her morning run. She makes a turn, jogging towards this alley. Then a security camera catches this.
Drops her pants and lets go. Puts her shorts back up without any wipe knives.
At least four times, Bobby says. He has no idea who she is and why his home has become her personal toilet. Bobby says she always strikes on weekend mornings. In fact, his security cameras caught her once again this past Saturday.
Okay. I saw this little blonde girl running down the street, and I was like, oh my God, That's got to be her. This is calculated. Look. I'm dropping my pants as I'm running.
He's hoping this story makes whoever the culprit.
I know what's happening. I've got it figured out.
All right.
This alleyway here is a duck and cover, get out of everyone's view place to go. I don't think she's not targeting this dude for any personal reasons.
No, from the story, I thought like it was on his front lawn or something. But
right, I mean, she does need to work on her scheduling and things. But she's basically just crap, and then she's found a place where she can take care of this. That's all that's happening here.
This is really funny, though.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. It's funny because it's consistently happening. That's what makes me laugh.
Right, she has mastered the lower the shorts and. During the run,
she's almost like not. She almost isn't stopping running. She's like,
right.
Got to keep that heart rate up. Got to just drop one of these and keep going. Keep moving. All right, Tweaked Audio sponsoring that bit of nonsense. Oh no, I forgot about this one. Roaming cats. A gang of roaming cats savagely attack a woman walking in France. Because she's got cheese on her, probably, or something.
The cat gang.
Cats may look fluffy and cuddly, but any cat owner knows there's mischief behind those wild eyes. One pet owner in France learned as much when a pack of at least 6 cats attacked this woman while she was walking her dog near a forested area in Belfort on Sunday evening, according to local reports there in France. The 31-year-old woman sustained several injuries on her legs and arms, including a nicked artery.
Wow.
Good Lord, man. Was taken to a local hospital for treatment while her pet poodle, which was also wounded in the cat attack, was separately transported to a veterinarian clinic. Well, thank goodness she didn't take him to the regular hospital.
To the same hospital.
The human hospital.
I don't know what I can't do anything for him, doctor. He's a poodle.
We don't know what to do. I'm not prepared for
this. The baby was a poodle.
That's
crazy.
Yeah, it's something to watch out for. Seeing a gang of roaming cats. Yes,
a
stay
roving
away.
Gang of cats. They're...
Yo, get off our turf, is what they said. quoted as saying, all cat psychics everywhere probably heard this happening, right? Probably could just listen real hard and go, oh, that cat's planning on attacking somebody. Fantastic. Right. All right, now Tweaked Audio wants to support that.
There we go.
TweakedAudio.com.
This is what we want to leave them with, not the pooping jogger.
Absolutely. go there. Support them. We love Tweaked Audio. They have great earbuds, fantastic technology in your ears, compatible with whatever you got to put them into, and you can save some money. Let's save you some money. 33% off your next pair of earbuds at Tweaked Audio. That's TweakedAudio.com with the code STREAM at checkout.
Chairman J. Parnell Thomas of New Jersey opens an inquiry into possible communist penetration of the Hollywood film industry.
It's Celebrity Poop, and it's brought to you by...
You know, those cats clearly tagged that wall that she was walking by to mark it as their turf. So she was totally crossing the line. Celebrity Poop brought to you by Nerdy Knots, Knerdy Knots. It's an Etsy store where you can find handmade paracord products for human and beast. Everything we craft is made with 550 paracord and is made to last. We've started our store to help pay for our wedding, and we dearly appreciate your business. Visit our store at etsy.me/nerdyknots, Knerdy Knots, and facebook.com/knerdyknots. All orders this week with the word derp in the comments will be put into a pool to win a Steam code for Harebrained Scheme's new game, Shadowrun Returns.
Comes out today, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that game. Cool. The game comes out today. I'm going to check it out. I was going to say something to you, and I forgot what it was. Oh, I know why. What? So I'm sitting here. I'm all stiff, and I'll tell you why. I forgot to tell you. Mm-hmm. I lifted weights yesterday.
From that jogger picture?
No. I lifted weights yesterday, and my arms were like gelatinous goo as a result. So it's good stuff. I mean, I'm sure this is good for me, but right now they hurt. George Alexander Lewis is the name of the royal baby just announced. George Alexander Lewis. That's boring. I wanted Flapping to non pine.
I was going to say, I mean, they've really got a pool of about 4 names they can choose from. There's never going to be a Hayden, a Tanner or a, you know,
any
like
of those. Jared.
Right.
Yeah.
Hunter.
Yeah. Hunter. That's a great kid. Yeah, they're all Philip and Henry and Albert and George and Lewis and things
exactly.
Like that.
It's like the popes. They've got a set collection of names to choose from.
Yeah, and if they don't have it, they change it. They come in there and go, "What's the name of the new pope?" And they're like, "His name's Jerry." Oh, well, that will not do. And they change it in that accent.
Right.
George Alexander Lewis has arrived. The royal baby finally came, has a name. Kate Middleton and Prince William announced via a statement from Kensington Palace on Wednesday. That sounds like a street, doesn't it?
Kensington Palace on Wednesday.
Wednesday Road, in the middle of...
I'm in the cafe right there on the corner of Kensington Palace on Wednesday.
Von Kent on Verschmichen. The announcement took 2 days to arrive as the Duchess of Cambridge gave birth to her baby son on Monday. The name was not surprising. Was not a surprising choice. Bettors had put money on George as well as James, Alexander, Louis, Arthur, Philip, Henry, and Albert. Now the bets are all off.
Why? Because those are the 8 names they can choose from.
Yep.
Good job, bettors.
Yep. The monogramming can begin.
It's going to be one of these 8.
Yes. Which one will it be? Welcome to the world, George. Read all about Will and Kate's moniker of choice from our pals at the Huffington Post parents blog. No, thank you. I'm not going there.
No, that's all right. Thanks.
Good news, everyone. Walker, Texas Ranger. the Walker, Texas Ranger home, the place he lived and like hung out and had bad carpet and ugly paintings on the wall. Hit the market. It's for sale. $1.2 million and it can be yours.
Never saw a single episode of that show.
Hold on now. Is that true?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Never saw a single episode of Walker, Texas Ranger.
Not even like a mistake, like accidental. I'm just sitting here and it came on.
Oh darn, I fell asleep on the couch, woke up and Walker, Texas Ranger was on.
Weird.
I could not even tell you. I'm guessing that it's a guy's name is Walker and he's a Texas Ranger.
Yeah.
Other than that,
yeah.
I got nothing.
Don't know
got
nothing else about it. And you knew it was Chuck Norris, right?
I knew it was Chuck Norris.
Okay.
Yes.
Did you know that? Yeah, it's bad. A furry Viking is absolutely right. It's bad
what,
TV.
I couldn't even tell you what era was this, like in the 80s, the 90s?
90s. Oh, you know what? We got to learn more. We're going to learn more.
Okay.
Let me go to the internet. That's where we find out things. Let's see. Walker.
I know Brian Dunaway's probably seen every single episode.
1993 through 2001. Okay. Jeez.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
This thing was on for 8 years, yeah. And I never saw a single episode.
That's really impressive.
Awesome. All right, good.
It did have, I want to say Mike from Breaking Bad, the actor, I forget his name, was on a couple of episodes.
Like Armin Trout?
Yeah, that may have been all I'd ever seen. No half measures. Oh, my gosh, I love Mike. I love Mike so much. He's one of the greatest characters in TV history.
Yes.
And if you ever see the old show Wise Guy... He was great on that,
yeah,
too.
Oh, yeah, I remember that existing.
Yeah, that was a great show growing up. I love that show.
Never saw that show either.
Oh, you're missing out.
I know.
I'm looking at some of these guest stars. There's so many that you'd notice. You'd recognize all these people.
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, 90s to early 2000s, I mean, that would have been, you know, everybody who's big doing other things now has probably been a guest.
There was a bunch.
Bryan Cranston probably was a guest on Walker,
probably,
Texas Ranger.
Probably was. MC Gainey was on there. The friendly guy from Lost or whatever.
Right. Mr. Friendly.
Friendly. And first
the friendly
season,
guy.
First season of... Oh, Giovanni Ribisi. Holy crap. That's weird. Who else? Other people I care about? Maybe not. Pam Doherty? Robert Forrester? Oh, yeah. We know him.
Oops, Walker, Texas Ranger, not Walker.
Oh my gosh, the guest list is ridiculous. Oh, Michael Parks. Saw him on Film Sack recently. He was in Django, but he was also in Dust Till Dawn, a bunch of other things. Anyway.
Okay.
So good on them. Good job.
Yeah.
Good run. I don't know what the story was about. Oh, it hit the house. Went up for sale. Need space to practice roundhouse kicks and fist-enforced Texas justice? Well, you're in luck. Chuck Norris's spacious Dallas home, complete with a gym featuring memorabilia from his Walker, Texas Rangers television series, is on the market. The Mediterranean ranch-style home in the Tony Dallas neighborhood of Northwood Hills also was the on-screen residence of Cordell Walker, the roundhouse-kicking Texas Ranger who battled villainy at every turn. That could be baffled. It'd be fine.
Baffled them.
7,362 square feet. It's pretty big.
Mm-hmm.
Very big. Let's see. Along with the weight room, it's listed as having 4 bedrooms, 7 full bathrooms, and a theater. I'm not used to a house having more bathrooms than bedrooms.
Than bedrooms?
Yeah, usually it's either on par or less.
Right, yeah.
Unless y'all need to take a big old douche at the same time. There's also a separate building.
Well, if you've got a pool or something,
sure.
Then you got to have a bathroom by the pool.
Oh, yeah, always, right? Mm-hmm. Unless you're going to float one, if you know what I mean. There's a separate building that served as a studio for the filming of Walker, Texas Ranger, as well as other Norris productions. I had no idea he was doing all this kind of in-house business up there. That's crazy. Hmm. Well, anyway, he's crazy right now. Guy's weird. So go buy that. Take your $1.2 million and spend it well. Let's take a break. When we come back, it's Therapy Thursday, everybody. Talking about dreams and how sometimes they're hard to chase. It's a really good email that we got, and we're going to talk to Wendy about it. We have some emails after that as well, so stay tuned for that. In the meantime, Brian is going to queue up some sort of music. Oh, you know what? I am, actually.
You know what? I'm not. Yeah, you are.
So I forgot you about this. So I'm going to do by the way, the Al Pacino's vault thing really took on a life of its own.
Yeah, it did.
Did well over the Nelson ratings over the last couple of days. Right. Those are different than the Nielsen ratings. They're the Nelson ratings.
Right, the Nelson.
It's just whether or not whether Nelson Mandela liked it or not. All right. So imagine, if you will.
Imagine.
A song created by Eric Van Skyhawk, my co-host on the App Slappy podcast, which, by the way, we know we're woefully short on episodes lately. Its schedules are bad. But we're working on it. Anyway, Eric is a talented musician and creates a lot of really cool music. He has an entire album up on YouTube, on iTunes already called, and also on Amazon MP3 called Function, for which I did an album cover for, and he did a bunch of great music on, and it features a ton of really cool stuff, including some old ELR stuff he wrote. Anyway, Eric is amazing and does, I don't know if you've heard, I've played it on the show before, but just a sample, like our App Slappy theme, which he created, is this. And it's just awesome. Check this out. Oh, man. Get all groovy already.
App Slappy.
He's just really good, right? Great at the electronica and all that stuff. So he wrote a song called Glamour Shots. And it goes up on iTunes today, unless something's changed. I haven't heard from him this morning. But as of today, it's supposed to be up there and available. If not, it will be soon. And it features me doing my best Barry White. So I wanted to play it on the show. We're going to reveal it here. So here it is. It's Glamour Shots by Eric Van Skyhawk, friend of the program. And talented dude, go support him by picking this this track up on iTunes. That's Glamour Shots, Eric Van Skyhawk, easy to find. Here it is. We'll be back in a minute with Wendy. Gonna get my picture on, baby. Pinky rings and pinstripes. Feathered hair and photographs. I make this look good. Sure you get my good side. What am I talking about? All my sides are good.
State troopers are on duty 24 hours a day. When one goes off duty, another goes on and may use the same car. Since 1972, more than 90 trooper cars using Haviland Super Premium All-Temperature Motor Oil were driven over 4 million miles. Of the engines taken apart, none showed any sign of unusual wear. With Haviland's formulation, you get all this protection without buying any extra motor oil additives. Get Haviland Super Premium Motor Oil.
No, no.
Thank you. morning stream. You didn't say the magic word.
Yay, we're back, everybody. Isn't that great? Here's the best part of that track. So circulating on Twitter was a photo of me from high school. Leaning on my hand with real bad hair and a suit on or whatever. He has chosen to take that and make it the album or the album art for that. So not only will you get that epic song, but you'll get my stupid mug as the album cover. So
the album art.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Really embarrassing. But anyway, there you go.
Get your own glamour shot of Scott.
He sent me this list of things to say, and then he used them in this way. So there you have it. Good job, Eric. And again, iTunes. Go check it out. Search for it. You'll find it. Glamour Shots. All right. What else? What are we doing here? Let's call Wendy.
We should talk to Wendy.
I think so. I think it'd be all right. I can think of worse things to do with our time.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see here. While I'm doing that, I got a text from somebody.
Yeah, let's do texts.
Texting is
great.
Why
don't I get your mass text?
Now, Wendy will probably be sick of talking to me. We had all kinds of long talks yesterday. This is what we do. We get together as a family, and Wendy and I usually yap the whole time.
Mm-hmm. Well, you have siblings you're close to. That makes sense. Yeah.
Hello.
Oh, hello. Hi.
Hello.
Hello. How are you?
Good. How are you guys?
Good. Weren't you just here? You were here like 5 minutes ago.
I know. I should have just stayed.
Yeah. That what the dumb. Heck? You just sleep over on the couch or something like that. I've been fine.
Right.
Is your husband home now?
He is. Hallelujah.
Good. You seemed a little frazzled. It's a handful. You got these kids, and there's four of them, and it's crazy town for you.
Two weeks in a row of him being out of town is just stupid. That's stupid, stupid.
Yeah. It takes a team. That's what I say.
I feel like kids, it's like they have a sense. It's like wolves.
Hmm.
They're like, she's alone. Let's surround her.
Or cats. Roving gang of French cats.
Yeah.
That's true.
Exactly. A rabbit.
My favorite thing ever is this. So Wendy and I are having a conversation by her car before they leave. And I want to say three of your kids were already in the car. And Elliot, who's adorable in every way. I know it may not. He probably seems less adorable to you over the last 2 weeks. But he always strikes everyone else as the cutest kid. And he's, while Wendy's talking, she's saying whatever to me, and he's going, Mom, 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 Mom. And Wendy goes, what'd you say? You said, hey, you need to ask nicely if you want to interrupt me or something. And he goes,
no, what I said was, can you not see we're having a conversation? Maybe you could say, excuse me.
Oh, yeah. So then he goes, so then we keep talking, excuse me, Mom, excuse me, excuse me, excuse me. the lesson was lost on him. He didn't get the difference, which was fantastic. But anyway, well, I'm glad you've got, half the Dunford team back in effect there.
Exactly.
Wendy comes on the show every Thursday since the beginning, really, and we talk about therapy questions people have. She's an actual therapist. She helps people for real every day. And she offers up her time on Thursdays to help you, the listener, with issues you may have and questions you might have. So let's do this. We got an email from Anonymous who says, hello, Wendy, Scott, and Brian. Ever since I can remember, I had an interest in the cosmos. As a young child, I wanted to be an astronaut. My parents did not encourage or discourage me. When I became a little older, I found out how much math astronomy took. Not being inherently skilled at math, I let go of those aspirations upon finding that out. As an adult in their 30s, I have been, meaning she's 30, or in her 30s, I have been reinvigorated in my passion. If I didn't have any my responsibilities as an adult, bills, husband, no kids, I would drop everything and run after my dream even in my old age. There have been times when I get very upset at the idea that I am not fulfilling that dream. How do I deal with the reality that I won't be able to realize my dream? I do have a job that I get do get satisfaction from, and I do feel I am making a difference in the world, but I feel like I could be making a larger impact in the world at large. I feel as though I was meant for bigger things. Again, this person is anonymous today. So, a unfulfilled set of dreams or a specific dream weighing heavy on the mind of Anonymous. How do we approach someone who constantly feels like they have not measured up to even their own aspirations, not necessarily the expectations of a parent or somebody else, but their own sense of who they wanted to be, and they're not there, And as they feel like maybe as they're getting older, they're going to be less and less not there. So, right. Or more and more not there, I guess is the way to say it. So where do you start with somebody like this?
Well, can we clarify the gender? You know, I'm kind of obsessed with that.
I think it's girl because of the whole responsibility as an adult. Bill, oh, I see. Bill's husband and no kids. I think I may have confused that to say, oh, one of her responsibilities is her husband.
Right. And I thought maybe it's his responsibility as a husband.
Yeah, I think you're right. Now that you say it, I think you're right. That was me projecting how much of a responsibility I am for Kim.
I know. Because it would definitely be a girl if you were the husband.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah. All right. Fair enough. It's a dude. Wants to be an astronaut.
I just love to use the right pronouns when I'm, you know, if we were in Finland, the pronoun is gender neutral. They don't, I mean, it's not meant feminine or male, which is so easy.
Really? In Finland, that's that? Well, you know why. They're all transparent and you can see their hearts beat and they float above the ground by 3 inches.
Yeah. And 16 ways to conjugate a verb.
Right.
So anyway, what am I saying? Okay. So I would start with, let's talk about this a little more globally. Well, first, one of the reasons I want to clarify gender is it gets me pretty riled up when I think about how girls and math are handled in our culture. Mm-hmm. So, you know, one of the things,
yeah.
Exactly. Math is hard. You know, one of the things I think, you know, if we want to be more upset globally about someone not living their dream, if this was a female being, you know, having the thought, well, math is not my forte, so I guess I won't do it. You know, we have a lot of studies of how girls are treated with math in school. So I would be mad about that. So if it's a male, I can be less mad about that. Because the opposite message is given. However, not everyone's good at math, right?
Yeah.
Or perception of your own skills and ability. And I think what's interesting is you take the parents that he mentions, they did not encourage or discourage. Because if a kid was saying, I want to be an astronaut, every kid says that when they're five.
Yeah.
So they probably just thought it was a kid being a kid.
It also seems so huge. It seems like fake people become those jobs, like not real human beings become them. Sort of superhuman TV people.
Well, and there's so few of them that actually
genetically
do that.
Engineered in a lab to become an astronaut.
Right.
And so, you know, here's, you know, maybe encouragement by a parent in the math department because you want to be an astronaut would have changed things. But it sounds like they were fairly neutral. And, you know, here's the reality is you're growing up, you're just, opportunities are coming and going and you're picking and choosing what I need to do. Sometimes you have to make opportunities happen. And often that's the case, which means you have to preclude other choices. Mm-hmm. And then there's the story down the road. And we'll get to that in a second. So, I forget his name. It's not Barry Manilow, pretty sure. But a guy with the name Barry in it somewhere.
Barry White?
Nope. Okay. Wrote Paradox of Choice. Oh. Have you ever heard of it?
Nope.
Someone in the chat room, look that up. Barry. And I'm sure it's Barry.
Barry. Yeah, I have no idea.
Barry.
Barry.
Chill.
Wendy, so anyway, Wendy will not know that reference, but yes,
I don't.
Go ahead.
No,
it's fine.
Barry Schwartz.
Oh, Barry Schwartz. Thank you. Okay, anyway, wrote The Paradox of Choice. And if any of you are stressed out in your life and you're like, I don't know why my life should be good, but you're just constantly stressed out. It's an interesting way of understanding why we're all super stressed out. And it has to do with that we have too many choices and that it actually sort of melts our brains a little bit when, you know, there's 300 cereals to choose from, literally.
Oh, I've heard this. I heard this guy speak at TED. This is how I've heard of this guy. And he talked about this, the whole choice thing, over choice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I'm familiar.
So that gives you, you know, you used to have like two pairs of shoes to choose from, or you had only one job to choose from. So the limits on what you thought were possibilities, you know, that was much more static for many people, you know, a couple generations ago. And I think, you know, Scott, you and I were talking about millennials a little bit last night, and I think, you know, one of the differences cognitively for them, as opposed to any other generation, is they have what seems like endless possibilities, which, and according to Schwartz, you're going to find that there's some freezing up that happens and the stress that ensues that is, you know, can start just in the cereal aisle. but then extends to which school do I go to, which, you know, what degree or major do I choose from, what, how many, blah, blah, blah. And so you just have this major stress overload from little decisions throughout your life. And then the bigger decisions, which take all the little decisions to get to, sometimes seem like too much work for millennials. And for the rest of us, it was, you know, you felt lucky when you had some other extra choice or, you know, an opportunity arose. You didn't have to choose between five awesome things.
Does that in part explain things like there's a weird kind of brand tribalism that's really prominent today, and it's mostly on the internet you see it, so it's not exactly that prominent everywhere you go. But you know, where somebody will, they'll make a $400 choice to buy a certain, let's say, gaming console, or the, you know, so they'll spend their money on an Xbox 360, and then anytime anyone brings up the Sony PlayStation, they dig in and get irritated and mad and confrontation or whatever. It's one example, but this idea, it's also kind of an iOS Android problem right now, where if people like their iPhone a lot, they get real dug in and angry at Android people, and the same thing happens on the other side. Is that part of this, where they've got all these choices, and so when they make a major one, or one that's a kind of a lifestyle choice that costs enough money where it kind of needs to be the one choice they made and they can't just bandy back and forth as easily?
Yeah.
Is that part of this, where they just back it like a freak? Okay. That's interesting.
Well, and what it is that, and tribalism, I mean, we've talked a little bit about that, has not been bred out of us yet. Mm-hmm. So, well, how do we do it? Well, we do it by our neighborhoods or our football teams or our iPhone versus Android phone. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's astounding the strange inferiority complex that arises when, I mean, I have an old iPhone. It's black, people. It's that old. But it looks pristine because I've never, I have a big puffy cover because
right.
Grandma.
Right.
Anyway, but I will find people with brand new, beautiful Androids being like, oh, you have an iPhone. I'm like, what? Shut up. I don't even care.
Yeah.
And it's because I don't have, that isn't a way I tribalize, but for I've seen people do that. And I think what it is, and this guy talks about it a little bit, is once you make a choice, there's two kinds of people, and we're turning it more into the one kind, but there are the satisficers and there's the maximizers. So, for example, I'm making a decision, and I promise, emailer, we will get to your question.
Yes, at some point.
So if I have to make a decision, if I'm a satisficer, I will have my parameters. I need it to be within this price range. It needs to do these things. And when I find it, if it's the first thing I find, then I buy it and I'm cool. Mm. There are less and less of those around because I would blame advertising and lifestyle advertising on that, and kind of the human condition and the, hey, I like this on Facebook or of Instagram, this thing I just bought, and suddenly my choice doesn't look as good versus what it used to be, which is your neighbor has a lawnmower, you have a lawnmower, and you're like, oh, yours is cool. But you don't know that there's 4,000 other lawnmowers you could have chosen from.
Right.
So then a maximizer is, they think they have the criteria, right? They have their, this is what I need and what I want. And they will look and search for months on end, maybe years, till they find the perfect thing. And they still believe the real perfect thing is out there, even if they eventually do buy something.
Right.
So that's in purchasing, obviously. I think all of us can relate to that.
Right.
And so when you finally make that decision, you got to defend it with your life because you gave it so much time and energy. You really invested part of your life in it.
Yeah.
You owe it to be wear an Android banner on your head forever. Right.
Right.
And so take this person's, you know, let's apply this to your life dream. It's, you know, the reality is this person in their 30s is probably not going to be able to be an astronaut, mainly because we don't have an astronaut program anymore.
Right. Well, not much of one. Yeah.
Not much of one. And so, you know, the probability is even less. Age is a factor, schooling, all the stuff that requires to get there. But here's the thing, and we've talked a little bit before about this concept of brain crack, where you have something. Oh my gosh, there's 10 tiny quail crossing my yard. How cute is that?
What? Really?
Yeah.
I'm getting a major nature vibe from you this morning anyway, because I can hear birds and it's like this lovely. It's very nice. It's calming and, you know, getting good advice about brand loyalty.
Sorry, it was suddenly very distracting in a nature way. This quail is crossing the top of the fence, and her babies are all on the ground below her.
Oh, weird.
Wow.
And maybe it's the dad, all judgy. I can't tell.
It could be the dad going, look at me up here, guys. Look what you can aspire to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or it could be the mom, and the dad is now like my husband with all the kids. Anyway, sorry to be distracted. Okay, so my point is, with her life, if anyone is a client of mine, I do this all the time, by the way. I completely interrupt myself and come back. It's a Johnson thing.
I do it every minute of the day. So,
anywho. Yep. Okay, so.
Trust me, people who listen to this show, they are used to this business.
Oh, good. All right, good. Yeah. So here is his, life dream. Brain crack, we can use it as, I have this business idea, and it's so great, and I'm not going to tell you about it unless you sign my non-disclosure agreement. And, super into this, whatever. Years go by, they never do anything. I guarantee things were invented many, many times over by people who just never took step 2, 3, and 4. But what happens is that idea can be used as a small accomplishment, right? Me and all the researching community have found this, that when you state your big goals and you tell other people, there's a level at which there's some accountability, but there's a level past that, which means you get the feedback as if you've already done it, right?
You're almost rewarded for doing the thing that you haven't done yet because you're getting the feedback from people as if you have done it.
Absolutely, which keeps you from doing it because you're getting some dopamine hits, you're getting the accolades, and it's sort of you're getting your reward before you've done any effort. The effort seems pretty crazy because you have this reward, thus the brain crack circuit.
Right.
Okay. So that's the positive in the sense of I'm using it to make me feel better. And in the case of this emailer, it sounds like there's brain crack in the negative.
Yeah.
And the brain crack is I shoulda, coulda, been, instead of what do I still want to be? What am I now?
Or what can I be? I mean, is it hard to, I think we all probably have these questions. I know I do occasionally. It's funny. I'm actually doing everything I ever dreamed as a kid. I'm literally doing, if I could talk to my 10-year-old self, the things I am doing would blow his mind and he wouldn't believe me. Right. So I'm actually living right up to the dream I wanted, exactly what I wanted to do. Yet there, I don't think it ends. You're still going to go, yeah, but what about bleh? Or what, there's always another thing that you thought maybe you could aspire to, or the things you have reached and didn't think you were going to suddenly bring up new ideas of next level stuff. So I guess what I'm saying is it's important for this person to know that I think everybody goes through some of this. Yeah. I think everyone, Bill Gates still wishes there was things he could have pulled off while he was at Microsoft, except being the richest man in the world and having more money than, anyone would ever know what to do with. And now he probably still, even with his incredible charity work, probably still thinks there are mountains to climb with that.
Why can't malaria be over yet?
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
I guarantee it. Well, and so there's a qualitative, I don't know if that's the right word, but there's an interesting thing that you can do with that. Because if everyone experiences it, then what do you do with it? What's a productive use of that versus that it's just brain crack or a way to beat yourself up? Because here's the thing. I have this friend, she loves to say this. And it makes me laugh. She'll just say, because I'm special. I blah, blah, blah. And the idea being, no one else has had these experiences or I'm the only one who gets to be this sad. Or I'm the only one.
Uh-oh.
Nope. Oh, no.
Hello? Mute us? Did you mute us?
Cheek mute.
Nope, you're fine. You're back.
Now, what happens if someone calls me and it does that?
Oh, does it? Oh. Did someone call you? It's a Skype thing. Skype sucks.
It's a therapy.
Skype is great. Skype is great. Skype is terrible. It's kind of the theory around here. Anyway,
see, you're all maximizers. You need perfection or whatever. Right, anyway, right. So the point is that if you, you can beat yourself up forever about this, right?
Right.
And take all that energy, and I wish we could measure it. How much energy goes to regret? How much energy goes to I should have, I could have, But if you get to the core of it, it's I'm special, right? Here's this person who has a satisfying job, is making a difference in the world, but they believe that they should do more. Well, guess what? Everyone thinks that.
Right.
Right?
Right. Right.
Lucky you, you actually have a job you like. Yep. I mean, there's differences, of course, but that I'm special thing. There's something about having that, saying that to yourself, like, yeah, it's because I'm special. Kind of teasing that part a little of yourself that you don't take it quite as seriously. That is important, because what happens if you take that attitude of, I really am supposed to be, I mean, everyone has that experience. This, mm-hmm. I should be doing more. I have bigger things in store for me. And so if that were true of everybody, then the whole world would be filled with who?
Well, it would be filled with, it's weird. I think about this because, you know, there's this notion, especially here in the States, we have this idea that anybody, anywhere can do anything they want mm-hmm. here. You mm-hmm. come here and live the American dream and pull yourself up by your bootstraps. And I think to a large degree, the systems in place allow for that. But if everybody did it,
we wouldn't have ditch diggers. We wouldn't have anything. Bathroom attendants.
It wouldn't work. It wouldn't work. There need to be people who are passionate about digging that ditch and attending that bathroom. I don't know that I'm not saying people are or aren't. I don't know. But you have to kind of have the full range. Which kind of sounds sucky, because in one way you're telling some people that don't reach very high, just make sure you can clean stuff real good, and we're telling other people make sure you're an astronaut, because we need those too. Like it's a weird mix of reality and idealism that we are in,
and the idealism keeps our workforce going.
Yeah.
Right? If you got rid of the bootstraps idea and you got rid of the American dream. I mean, and the reality is, the economic reality is that it is so much more difficult now to do certain things than previously mm-hmm. in some ways. And then in other ways, I mean, we have ridiculous opportunities that never existed before. So, you know, I think it fluctuates, but I think the I can do this thing and I should be able to figure this out has two effects. I think it has, you know, a demoralizing effect, like I should be able to do this because this is the American dream and I can't seem to figure this out. Mm-hmm. I can work three jobs and still can't pay for food for my kids or whatever, you know?
Right.
And then the other side being, you know, that, well, I think part of it is we're watching the one percenters and going, well, that's the arrival point is to be on Cribs. Is that like 100 years old? I have no idea.
That's still a thing.
You can still be on Cribs. You can absolutely still be on Cribs.
Yeah. That's like a show. I don't even. I'm such a grandma.
That's still a thing that exists. Absolutely.
Okay. But you know what I'm saying? Like you have the, well, that's what it means. And if you really think about what people are aspiring to, it's absolute sit around in mansions and do nothing. That's what people are wanting. Some people. And then you have someone like this emailer who, I want to make a difference in the world. I want this, you know, this larger than life fantasy thing that I didn't follow the track to get when I was a kid. So do I beat myself up every day? Do I long for something? Well, maybe it's that there needs to be some flexibility added in here. Because there's the bigger picture issues, but then there's your individual, like, you know, what keeps you from pursuing a version of this? Because you're on plan B. E, son, that is mm-hmm. everybody's on plan B, D, E, or F. Like it's everyone had a plan A, but by the time they were 23 or 4, they had to switch it. And so if we always beat ourselves up about plan A, then we really can't fully live the other stuff that's available to us. And, you know,
right.
So this feeling of I should be doing more, there's bigger things in store for me is not original to you. I think you're not special. A lot of people feel that way. But how you might become special is fight the demons that keep you stuck on plan A and not give any energy to the other plans.
Right.
You know?
I completely agree. I'm reminded of a story that I think people, if they haven't seen this movie, they should, because it's actually a good movie anyway, but it's also kind of illustrative of all of this point. There are things within your dream that even if you think you're too far from it, you can still fulfill. The movie is called The Rookie, 2002, stars Dennis Quaid, Rachel Griffith, a bunch of other people. And it's this story based on a true story of a Texas baseball coach / chemistry teacher who always wanted to be in the big leagues, always thought he might be, could have been, could have, should have, would have, right? His plan A was to play professional baseball. Yeah. but he never did. And he kind of just settled into his life, and he has kids and a wife, and he's a teacher, and he, you know, they do okay, and it's, they're in this small sleepy town, and everything's fine and everything, but his players challenge him to try out, to just go to one of the tryouts for the Tampa Bay Devil Rays. And he goes, and he's throwing 98 mile per hour pitches still and blowing everybody's mind. He ends up playing a bunch of minor league stuff, and then eventually gets pulled up signs a contract, ends up getting pulled up out of those farm leagues into Tampa Bay, actually plays, you know, pitches a game against the Rangers, kids in the audience, all his students, of course, in the audience, everybody watching him. He didn't stay there for very long, but he got to go have a piece of it again. Yeah. Like, this dream kind of got to come true, at least temporarily. And it's a really fantastic movie and a great real story if you want to read up about it, about this guy who just humbly said, maybe I still can do more. So I don't know what the equivalent of that is at NASA in space or whatever, but I think maybe even more now than ever, there are opportunities here. What if part of this goal is creating an amazing blog on the internet that covers all of the independent space travel stuff that's happening with Elon Musk and SpaceX what's his name? The Virgin guy, I forget his name. And all those things going on. What if that was your contribution? Yeah, Branson. What if that was your contribution? Or what if it was something even more meaningful, like your goal is I'm going to go to every major space museum slash Houston launching pad or whatever. I'm going to see rockets and satellites take. Whatever you can glean from your original goal and make little sub goals out of it. I feel like those are all doable. And then they lead to crazy stuff that you don't expect. You may not be on the next shuttle flight, but right now nobody is. So, you know, next best thing or whatever. I don't know.
So you can take your grief and your lamenting and keep going and just, I don't even know you, but I'm being a little harsh here, but you can feel like, okay, well, I'm the victim of, I didn't like math or my parents didn't push me or I didn't grow up in Houston or, you know, whatever it might be. And if that thought is occurring to you every day, wow, what a waste of time, right? What a waste of your energy. Mm-hmm. And this might be worth having someone, maybe it's your spouse or maybe, you know, maybe it's someone, a therapist or somebody that you, a life coach maybe, that can just help you break through some of your thinking errors that you've built up over the years. Part of why we do that, part of the brain crack is to protect us. It makes us feel very vulnerable. Mm-hmm. Either we have to see ourselves as failures or we have to see ourselves as, you know, we continually miss opportunities every day. And that's why, you know, maybe have something walk through with you and help you see your issues. I recommended this book a long time ago, The War of Art. I think it applies. And the word in there this guy uses, you know, that blocks you from your creative endeavors. And, you know, I think your description of what this person could do, those are all really creative, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. I think everything's probably creative at its core.
Right.
Is resistance. So resistance to taking a step forward. So if you imagine every day, instead of dwelling on the brain crack of, or lamenting I didn't do this. If you took that 15 minutes you wasted on that and you did 15 minutes on a blog or 15 minutes taking one step forward in increasing your knowledge or, you know, whatever direction, I mean, think of the difference in a year.
Yeah.
Because a year of brain crack, you're not doing anything different.
Oh, it's enormous.
Yeah. And a year of 15 minutes a day is enormous. So anyway, I think you gave a great example. And imagine if everyone on their plan B, C, or D just quit because plan A never worked, we'd have nothing.
Yeah.
We wouldn't have plumbing people. I'm always obsessed with
plumbing. I need plumbers. I need good plumbers, dude. Trust me. Ugh, my gosh. Every time anything backs up, it's like, holy shite. What's that? What does that pipe do? I don't even know where that goes. And I got to call a guy to do it. And we have a guy who is who does our plumbing stuff, totally into it, man. He is like over here going, yep, that's a joint with the bap, zip, dap. And he's got all the tech words and he loves it and he gets into it. And he's got passion for it. And he's also not that expensive because I feel like he loves it more than he's willing to charge for it. And like, I need that guy to exist and I need him to love what he does.
Right.
So find that thing. It's just, I feel like just now, if now more than ever, you can do peripheral things to the dream you had.
Totally.
And make it meaningful, powerful, and take you in surprising ways way more than ever before.
Well, and you know, I think there's another thing just to add here is I think the mediocrity of doing nothing towards a dream is so common. I mean, go to any lunchroom, any water station. What do you call those?
Yeah, water stations.
You mean a cooler, like the water cooler?
Thank you.
Yeah, I was talking around the water station today about that episode of Lost. Yeah, exactly.
I have not slept enough, if you can tell. Anyway, this, you know, you go to any of those places, you're going to hear people lamenting their plan D that they're on. And it's like we all settle into boring, right? We all sort of go, okay, well, I guess this is what we do. And we go to work and we come home and we go to our kids' game and eat dinner and we watch TV and we go to bed. We do it again. And, you know, of course, that's going to be the time when you're like, this sucks. I was supposed to be an astronaut. Or this sucks. I was supposed to have yada yada. And instead of doing it. And I think there's a reason midlife crises happen about, it's like 37 to 45, 36 to 45, about that decade. Some people can do it older and younger, of course, right. Because you're really in the groove of doing the same boring thing every day. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so people mistakenly think materialism fixes it or a new wife or a whatever. So they'll change something because they feel like they can't, you know, is this really my life? And think about if you took the energy to get a mistress or to get a new sports car and you turn that into, like you're describing, peripherally living plan A or, right. You know, living your dream.
Mistress.
I mean, that's a ton of energy that could go towards that. So if you're in that age range, think about this, people.
Yeah. No, all you midlifers with your crisis and your whatnot.
And your whatnot.
Why don't you calm down a little bit? Just don't spend all your money on that Ferrari. Go.
But if I get the Ferrari, I can get a mistress.
Oh, I see. A leads to B. Plan A connects directly to Plan B. Very nice.
Right.
All right. Well, I hope this is helpful. I think it is helpful for me to think about it. So hopefully Anonymous finds some value in this as well. Let us know how things go for you. And as always, Wendy, huge thanks. Anything big coming up? Anything to pimp? Any organizations, causes, thoughts?
This is the weekend for the having your kids do a popsicle stand for Heal Courageously. Go to healcourageously.org.
Oh,
and
nice.
You can just, they kind of walk you through how to do it.
Yeah.
And you just do a popsicle stand and donate however much you want to cancer.
Yeah.
It's cool.
That one's good. Yeah. Healcourageously.com. Also, don't forget the to some offensive Last Supper photo taken at Nerdtacular 2013 of me and all the producers. That is for sale up on the Frog Pants store, frogpants.com/store. $5 of every sale go to Wendy's local school charity, which we do every winter. And already have a bunch of sold. We're looking to sell more. If you want to contribute to that, you can help kids eat, have clothes, and attend school in far better ways than they are currently. So
yeah, if you feel even a little guilty about the Last Supper picture and loving it, then guilt is paid for penitence and helping homeless kids.
There you have. There you go. Well said.
Remember, if you're offended by it, it was Tom Merritt's idea. Yeah. If you love it, it was my idea.
Right, exactly. No one knows for sure. All right, Wendy, have a fantastic week. We will see you next time.
Okay.
Bye now.
Take care.
See you, Wendy.
There you go. Off into the sunset. I have to go to, I mean, it's not like a bad thing, but we have a big family reunion in a couple of weeks. I think it's actually the week you're in, when are you in Vegas? I forget.
I'm in Vegas the week of, from the 7th of August until the 12th.
All right, let's just look at this real quick. So it's still July, August 7th
Where
through 12th.
Is your family?
Oh, excellent, because
it's
in Park City. We're just all meeting up there. The Phoenix side of everything is coming up to meet us there. So I think we are actually gone the 8th through the 11th. So that's perfect.
Wow. That is perfect.
Yeah, that's just about right. We'd miss that Thursday anyway. Or I guess you're gone the 7th, so maybe I don't know what we're doing then. But anyway, we'll keep you guys informed.
I'll miss that Wednesday and the following Monday. Wednesday, Thursday, Monday.
Yeah. Welcome to summer, everyone. That's how this goes.
That's right. Yeah, stuff happens.
It happens. A quick couple of emails, which, by the way, are brought to you by something. What are they brought to us by?
Oh, they are brought to you by Scroll Up. Didn't tell me. Scroll Up. Get Jawbone Radio back on the air. You and I both supported this.
We sure did.
Support the Kickstarter and search for Jawbone today on Kickstarter. Good buddy Len.
Yep, Len Peralta. A good old friend, artist, podcaster. And he was having, you got to remember this. He had Jonathan Colton on his show and played his music on his show before Jonathan Colton was known by anyone.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. He was also very early had Hodgman on a lot before Hodgman was big.
Right. And he did the Bill Watterson thing. There's this movie coming out called Dear Mr. Watterson about the guy, you know, Calvin and Hobbes guy.
Right.
And Len did this amazing, it was a very different Jawbone Radio episode where he actually went to Bill Watterson's hometown and ended up meeting his mom and like sitting in Bill Watterson's mom's living room talking to her about Bill.
Yeah.
So a really, really good episode to go back and listen to if you want to.
A rare bit of that. And like, that's a hard thing to get. And he nailed it. Like, that was totally rad that he was able to get that. And she was really sweet. And that was a fun interview. So bring it back. Him and Nora. They're awesome. Jawbone Radio on Kickstarter. Emails here. Got a couple of them. One from Mitch says, Dear Skittles and Bottle Caps. That's something to collect when you're
delicious.
A kid, I guess. Yeah, yummy.
No.
Bottle Caps, the candy.
The candy, yeah. It tastes like root beer or cola.
I hated the root beer ones. They were gross.
Really?
I think, yeah, because you know what? Root beer candy is a lot like black licorice in a way, you know, kind of that flavor.
Mm.
I think we clearly know where our lines are drawn here.
I could kind of see that. Yeah.
We know what's wrong with you. To answer why events like these are more of a concern when it comes to elected officials as opposed to Hollywood stars or starlets comes down to this. Hollywood people do not make laws that affect my life. They're meaning, you know, if a Hollywood person is, if George Clooney sends a picture of his junk to his girlfriend and it gets leaked, or if Anthony Weiner takes a picture of his junk and it gets leaked, his point is elected officials are there to serve the public and make decisions for the rest of us. Those that show poor judgment when it comes to personal matters, like shooting pics of their junk through the inner tubes, have proven that they cannot be trusted to speak for me. Lub da show do. Mitch. what I was trying to get out of my mouth yesterday that I couldn't quite articulate. I think he said it pretty well. I think this is why I don't trust.
Except sadly, there are Hollywood people out there who want to make laws to affect your life.
That's true.
Like Sean Penn, Tim Robbins. Mm-hmm.
To name a couple. Michael Moore
to some degree.
Yeah. Michael Moore. Michael Moore is the
Let's not have any Michael Moore selfies of his junk.
Oh my gosh, dude. Can you imagine? I don't even want to think about it.
No, I can't. And don't make me imagine.
Junk pictures for Columbine, they'll call that movie. Everyone has their own opinions and it should be respected, says Walter. Love the show, though, Walter says. Or, so I always thought, until you bagged on the Flash movie. And now I have to say no, Scott, no. The Flash is awesome, and he doesn't just run fast. The hell is that bunk, he says. You clearly have never read The Flash or know very little about the character to say that. Bad, Scott. Love the show, though, Walter. All right, Walter, listen. I know there's way more to The Flash. No, I know that. I'm telling you that Hollywood doesn't know how to do that right. So your character's thing that he does needs to be really cool, like Batman or somebody like that, for it to just work on screen. They're not interested in giving me a very in-depth look at The Flash and the character and the finer points of his personality or any of that. They are interested in having me watch a dude run real fast.
Right.
So that's what I'm complaining about, not the actual comic book. I read plenty of Flash comic books, and he's great. He's great in the Justice League books. Wally West is my favorite, by the way. He should always be him.
Right.
There's not a issue with The Flash. It's an issue with Hollywood making a Flash movie. I don't trust them yet. They could prove me wrong. Let's hope so. But I doubt you're going to get an in-depth character study of Wally or any of the other guys. All right. That's it.
All right.
If you guys want to share emails with us, you can. It's real easy. Been reading more of these lately. I like doing it. themorningstream@gmail.com. Send them in. Send them often. Make them short. And they might just get on the show. It's called Clio.
Yes.
Get our Clio business happening. Get our Clio groove on. Let's play her theme. There you go, Ryan. We've done what we came to do. Should we tallywhack it?
Make it so.
Still ringing. Oh, there she is. Cleo, you there?
Oh, there she is. Yep.
Yes, I was killing a spider with fire.
Ooh,
sorry.
Don't do that. Wait.
Yes.
Did you really... With fire, really?
No, I stomped on really it.
Oh, right. Okay. No. You stomped on it.
Fantastic. Flame.
You killed it with Lord of the Dance is what you did.
Yes, I killed it with hover is
all
what
right.
I did.
Fantastic. Stomp the yard. All right. It's Cleo, everybody. She comes on the show, sums it all up for us, tells us who sort of won in the chat room. We like to involve the community as much as possible. Cleo, take it away.
Sure. Before I get too funny, I just wanted to throw something out to Anonymous if I could. Mm. Is that all right?
Mm-hmm.
I just said that sometimes I think your dreams will find you.
Mm.
And rarely does life mold itself to that kind of a timeline that everyone determines about junior year in high school.
Yeah.
And if you let that lack of control not be so scary, sometimes you'll find it's the magic that gets things coming together for you down the road.
Dude, dang. You should. When's your book coming out? When's the big tour and the signing? And
oh, God.
Amazing. That was really good.
That's true.
Nobody wants me touring the country.
I think either one of us said, you know what I want to be when I grow up is a podcaster.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nobody, no joke. I mean,
nobody did.
I wanted to be a pediatrician, and I went to applied to medical school. I was in a 5-year plan at Johns Hopkins, and I was going to go. And then I met Aaron, and it didn't work out that way. But
right.
I was given now the opportunity through my family to live out that dream of being a complete medical pain in the ass.
Right,
so
right. There
you go.
I said things when I was younger that would never be dreams or goals. I said I want to run around with a tape recorder all day and say stupid things into it, and I want to doodle on my homework. Both those things turned out to be my full-time effing job. So
there you go.
Even those things that you think aren't goals might turn around and come back because somehow the internet made it work and whatever. So
that's right.
Good advice, Cleo. Very nice.
There you go. Mm-hmm. All right. Now I'll be stupid.
All right.
Okay.
You get points.
Yeah.
According to the I get the points. Jogger Crapper and the Gang of Roman Cats, El Bacho had marvelous advice. He said in both cases, just spray them with water and they'll start crapping all over the place.
Great
or
idea.
Beat them with a rolled up piece of paper. Either
yeah,
one.
Yeah.
When we were talking about gray hair, Brian's got some creeping in. Mm-hmm. Jay Hampton said, well, there are white temples all over Utah.
That is true.
True.
Very true. Absolutely true. Yes.
And when we were talking about Daryl's poor food that melted into a blob of tar before Tank Girl said slab of goo was her Jabba the Hutt stripper name.
Nice. Perfect.
And the winner, of course, was our very own Brian Ibbett, who gets points for killing Tasha Yar with a bag of melted bats.
Nice. Very nice.
I shouldn't be. I'm not.
No,
I'm
you're
not,
eligible. You're eligible. Sure you are. Yeah,
sure,
I've yet to win, which is a little frustrating, so I'm going to hang up on Cleo now. Goodbye, Cleo. Have a great week. Good job. Congratulations.
Oh, very cool.
All right.
I'd like to thank the little people.
Let's get out of here. I want to thank everybody at alphageekradio.com for the Shoutcast stream today. Don't forget to support them on their Indiegogo campaign to help fund their hardware that they so generously bring to all these events. And Nerdtacular is not the same without what Todd does, so... Please support him.
No kidding. Yeah. Support him. Help him out.
Yep. Frogpants.com. Oh, wait. Scott Fletcher. Forgot to mention him. Always does our great voice bumpers. Thank you so much, Scott Fletcher. Get our t-shirt at /loot.com. Support the show in a way that shows some pride. Wear our shirt. It is available now. The Love the Show, though, t-shirt at /loot.com. A mug of the same type can be found at frogpants.com/store. You can buy either one. Frogpants.com/TMS is the website. On Facebook, you can find us at /themorningstream. You can email us, themorningstream@gmail.com, and on Twitter, morningstream, Scott Johnson, and Coverville. Coverville today, something going on?
Yes, yeah. So Mick Jagger turns 70 tomorrow. No, when is it? The 26th. Yeah, that would be tomorrow. And he still has moves like Jagger.
Of course he does.
Although he needs some prunes to help those moves like Jagger.
Anyway. Yeah, I still think that song move, I need to, or you got to move like Jagger or whatever.
Yeah.
I have to move my jacket every time I hear it.
I have to move my jacket.
I've got to move my jacket. Just like that.
Ooh, my jacket. Love it. Now I'm not going to be able to hear anything but. So in honor of that, it's time for another Rolling Stones cover story. Probably right after the Beatles and Bob Dylan, the Stones are probably the next most covered band in my library. So look for covers today of some of their biggest hits. Probably, Satisfaction, Ruby Tuesday. We're going to hear something pretty soon on today's show.
You think they're still having trouble getting some of that Satisfaction? They can't get
none. No, I don't. I think they've got plenty. I think that they have. I think they get more satisfaction than they know what to do with.
Yeah, they've got some to spare. How about sending some our way?
That's right.
Mick Jagger.
Yes. Send us some satisfaction, please.
Please. Well, that's fantastic. Coverville.com, yeah. 3 o'clock, catch it live.
3 p.m.
Yep.
And then after that, I'm going to a 10 p.m. showing of Wolverine.
Oh, look at you. The reviews are strong.
They don't do the... Are they? Good. Yeah. Oh, God, I'm hoping so.
Yeah,
the only thing I'm really worried about is the whole Viper thing.
Yeah, there's some... As a purist, I'm guessing that's going to be a problem for people, or potentially for fans like you. But I think generally, if they nail the character, and that's what I'm hearing about it, is Hugh Jackman is really at the heart of what the Wolverine is, and that's really important. So if they're doing that well, then that's exciting. 72% on Rotten Tomatoes, which is pretty damn good.
Okay. That is really good, yeah.
Taken on its own terms, Wolverine is the cleanest, least pretentious, and most satisfying superhero movie of this summer, says Andrew O'Hare of the Salon.com website. Well, yeah.
Cool.
Sounds like fun.
Yeah, so right now on Rotten Tomatoes, it's just the critics, right? Because the audience hasn't seen it yet, so.
Well, the audience has their wants to see it number, but no review. I don't know how that works. The audience thing is weird. It's all a little weird, but anyway, that's a good, that's good. That's heartening to know that this thing is well over 50% and doing well. So enjoy. Better than the Origins one. The Origins one was terrible.
Oh God. How can it not be? I
hated that movie.
All right. So how about we go out with a song?
Yeah.
And this one is going out to Brian Shearer from Kennett, Missouri. It says, Dear Strong and Bad, would love to hear a cover of Paint It Black by the Rolling Stones, preferably the one by Versa Emerge. And that's all he says, Brian Shearer from Kennett, Missouri. Okay, well, easy enough, Mr. Short and Sweet and to the point.
Yep.
Because, to kind of get you warmed up for a Rolling Stones cover story later today at 3 p.m. right here on the feed. How about a cover of Paint It Black? This one comes from the 2010 collection, the Punk Goes Classic Rock. You know those Punk Goes ... CDs?
Oh, right.
That have come out recently. Mm-hmm. They're not bad. Yeah. They're okay.
Right.
Usually you get, if there's 12 songs on the disc, I'd say 7 of them are good, 4 or 5 of them are meh. But this one's good. Versa Emerge and their cover of Paint It Black, originally by the Rolling Stones.
Sounds great. Thanks, everybody, for being here this week with us. We really appreciate it. I've enjoyed the show this week maybe as much or more than I ever have. I don't know what's going on, but it's just been ringing.
Yeah,
everything's been kicking. So
I love this show. I love doing it.
Well,
so
yeah, like it, like we never
love hanging
it
out with you, Scott Johnson.
Oh, thanks, Brian Ibbett. Me too. The feeling's mutual.
Yeah,
mutual of Omaha.
All right, Marlon Perkins.
Marlon Perkins. Remember him? He was great. All right. Don't forget. If you see somebody in a hallway and you're not sure what's going on when they got a funny face,
they seem to flagellate.
There you go. That's why. Paint It Black.
I'd love to see your cities.
It's Paint It Black. We'll be back next week with a brand new set of shows. Don't forget to catch this weekend episodes of The Instance, The Final Score, and more. We'll see you guys next time.
Oh,
Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
Hello, chị Liên. Dành gọi là em nha. Lâu quá em không nói chuyện với chị. Ok, em Hường đây. Bye chị.